ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुक उवाच नमः परस्माय पुरुषाय पूयसे सदूर्भवस्तान निरोधलीलया गृहीत शक्ति त्रितयाय अन्तार्भवायानुपलक्ष्य वर्त्मने Sukadev Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who for the creation of the material world accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable." Purport by His Divine Grace. The material world is a manifestation of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the Supreme Lord for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world accepts three predominating forms as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shankar, Shiva. As Vishnu enters into every body materially created, as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he enters into every universe, and as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, he enters the body of every living being. Lord Sri Krishna, being the origin of all Vishnu tattvas, is addressed here as Parakumam, or Purushottam, as described in Bhagavad Gita. He is the Supreme Whole. The Purushavatars are therefore his plenary expansions. Bhakti Yoga is the only process by which one can become competent to know him. Because the empiric philosophers and mystic yogis cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead, he is called Anupalakshya Vartmane, the Lord of the Inconceivable Way, or Bhakti Yoga. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who for the creation of the material world accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable." We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, entitled The Process of Creation, text number 12. In this chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is offering his deep gratitude to Sukadeva Goswami, because he explains Sukadeva Goswami is speaking according to the authorities, Parampara, because he has a pure heart, no contaminations, no ulterior motives, and because he has realized the substance of what he speaks. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj has complete faith that whatever Sukadeva Goswami speaks is truth. And therefore he is very, very eager to hear. This eagerness to hear is the example that he sets. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And each of these processes of devotional service has a particular personality who teaches how to perfect our lives in that process. Parikshit Maharaj was not only eager to hear, but for him, this message was the most desperate need in life. He was thirsty. He took a vow not to take any water or food for 7 days until he dies. In the 10th canto, Parikshit Maharaj tells Sukadeva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur paraphrases, that previously I didn't get water for just some hours and I was so disturbed. I was so aggrieved by that thirst that I committed an offense to Swami Grishi for not giving me water. Now, it has been days and days without a drop of water, a morsel of food, or any sleep. But I am feeling no disturbance. I am feeling completely satisfied because of the nectarine flow of Krishna Katha that is coming from your mouth. So yes, Sukadeva, Parikshit Maharaj, for him hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam was life and death. He was listening with a sense of great need, great urgency. He was going to die in 7 days. He was taking shelter of every word. That is the process that we should read Prabhupada's books. That is the process we should hear the classes in the Holy Scriptures. Krishna reveals himself according to our attitude of surrender. Therefore, if we really, really feel desperate need to hear Krishna Katha, Krishna will reveal himself in the most wonderful way. So the Prabhupada, he said that Parikshit Maharaj knew for certain he had 7 days to live. But there is no person in this entire world that knows for certain that they have 7 minutes to live. So how urgent, how important it is to be very, very eager to hear. Parikshit Maharaj is asking many questions. In this particular chapter, he is asking about the nature of creation, which is very inconceivable. How the Lord, who is beyond the 3 modes of material nature, involves himself with the modes of material nature. He's asking Sukadeva Goswami, please tell me how creation takes place. And Sukadeva Goswamiji begins his reply in this way. First, by offering obeisances to the Lord, who for the creation of the material world accepts the 3 modes of nature. He is complete whole, residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. Krishna can be at all times in total control of material nature and never have anything to do with material nature is quite inconceivable. He is doing through his energies, his plenary expansions, his incarnations. The Lord, simply by his desire, by his will, creates the Mahatattva, which is like a huge cloud within the spiritual sky. And this Mahatattva, all the 24 ingredients of material existence are within it, by the Lord's will. But they are all inactive. Until Lord Arunadakshaya Vishnu glances within the Mahatattva. That glance impregnates the Mahatattva with the power of time. That activates the three modes of material nature. When the three modes of material nature are activated, then the entire process of creation begins. But yet Krishna explains, Vibhir Guna Bhavaya, that he is completely always separate from the three modes of material nature. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Satchadacha. The whole creation is working under his control. He is within and without everything. Srila Prabhupada explains the inconceivable nature of the Lord can never be understood except by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, Krishna tells in Gita, it is only by undivided devotional service that I can be understood as I am. Srila Prabhupada here explains that anupalakshya vartmane means the Lord's inconceivable way, which is bhakti yoga. If we please Krishna, Krishna by his own sweet will makes everything known. Otherwise, Krishna is beyond the grasp of the mind, beyond the grasp of the intelligence, way beyond the grasp of the senses. In fact, he's unapproachable through any material means. Through the process of jnana, we can develop scriptural understandings. But without the mercy of the Lord, we cannot see Krishna as he is. Actually, there were hundreds of editions of Bhagavad Gita in English language when Srila Prabhupada came in 1965. He had previously made translations and purports in India, but it was stolen. So he had nothing. He had Bhagavatam, but he wanted to teach also from Gita. So every time someone would bring him a Gita, he would look at it and see that it's not the spirit of Krishna. So many jnanis, very, very powerful jnanis, PhD jnanis, yogis, lived in Himalayas for many, many years, Uttarkashi, doing severe tapasya. These were not just ordinary people. Many of these commentators of Gita, very, very powerful yogis and very erudite scholars of Sanskrit and scriptural knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada considered that not a single one of them is speaking the spirit of the Gita as it is. Because unless one is a devotee, unless one surrenders to Krishna with devotion, Krishna will not reveal the truth. This material nature, consisting of three modes, is very, very difficult to overcome. Only one who surrenders to me can understand and cross beyond. Even after many, many births of cultivating knowledge, when one finally comes to the point of Vasudeva Sarva, surrendering to Vasudeva, that is bhakti. Then you can know things as they are. Such a great soul is very, very rare. Yes, the Lord is inconceivable in His inconceivable potencies, Achintya Shakti. And how they are working must be understood in the beginning by faith. And that faith, under proper guidance, must activate a spirit of devotional service. And then when Krishna is pleased, Samsudhya Hari Dosha, when Krishna is pleased, then He can make everything known. There's no other way. This is the wonderful quality of Krishna, His inconceivableness. When He appeared in Vrindavan, so many inconceivable things He had done. Inconceivable. But what was the most inconceivable thing is He would do things so inconceivable, and yet the residents of Vrindavan, due to the spontaneity of their love for Him, would still see Him as an ordinary child. Now that is inconceivable. Yes? A 7-year-old child lifting Govardhan Hill for 7 days and 7 nights. And the only contact between him and the hill was the tiny little tip of his very soft, lotus-like little finger. And it didn't even move that whole 7 days. And Govardhan Hill at that time was several miles high. Now it's only about 80 feet high at the highest point. How is that possible? Krishna standing, 7-year-old boy, balancing a gigantic mountain with one finger. But what's even more inconceivable than that is all the hundreds and thousands of Brijvasis, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, everyone, they still considered he was an ordinary boy. They couldn't conceive that he was doing it. The cowherd men were holding, putting sticks, thinking they were also doing it. And Yashoda Maya was thinking, oh, he's so hungry, look at his face, it's dried up like a wilted lotus because of fatigue. His hard mountain and his soft finger. She was in so much distress of motherly love. How is that possible? This is the inconceivable of the inconceivable. Although Krishna is completely, supremely great, Mahavishnu, he wants to have darshan of Krishna. He stole that Brahmin's little children. It's because he wanted to have the darshan of Krishna. Oh, Krishna is the supreme source of all spiritual power. In Gokul Mahaban, Krishna performed a very inconceivable pastime. He showed how the creation is both outside of him and inside of him. One day, Sukadeva Goswami explains, the cowherd boys complained to Yashoda Maya, Krishna in a secluded place has eaten dirt. Now previously, the gopis in their vatsalya bhav were constantly coming to Yashoda Maya complaining that Krishna was stealing butter and eating butter. Now that complaining against his butter stealing was complete, his friends came to complain. Now, they couldn't complain that he ate butter because they were always assisting him in stealing and eating butter. So this time they came and said, Krishna has eaten dirt in a secluded place. Now what will a mother think if she hears that her little son was only a couple years old? Is eating dirt. She became very aggrieved in heart. She held Krishna by the hand so he wouldn't run away, and with her other hand, with her finger, she scolded him. Why are you doing this? Why are you eating dirt? Am I not giving you a nice prasad? And Krishna just very innocently looked at his mother and said, no, mother, I did not eat dirt. You showed her mind. She says, but all of your companions, your friends are telling me that you're eating dirt. And even Balaram is telling me that you have eaten dirt. Balaram and your friends would not lie against you. Why are you doing like this? Now, Mother Yashoda's scolding of Krishna is an expression of her love. And Krishna responded to Yashoda Mai, his eyes filled with fear, which is an ornament due to the receiving of Mother Yashoda's love. So Mother Yashoda said, if you didn't eat dirt, open your mouth, let me see. And Krishna said, my friends are liars. I did not eat dirt. Now I will open my mouth and you will see. But Krishna, the reason he was afraid is because he knew if he opened his mouth, factually, the evidence was inside his mouth. He did eat dirt. So Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti immediately entered the scene. And when Krishna opened his little, small, lotus-like mouth, Yashoda Mai looked in for dirt. And what did she see? Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti wanted to protect Krishna. Because if she saw the dirt within his mouth, he would be very much scolded. Therefore, she saw within the mouth the universal creation, just so that she would forget to scold Krishna. She saw all the planets, all the mountains, all the oceans. She saw all living beings, all the demigods. She even saw Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, she saw herself looking at Krishna's mouth. Can you imagine? She saw the entire universal creation within Krishna's mouth, which is only this big. And Krishna didn't make his mouth bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger to accommodate. It was still only this big. And his belly was only this big. So how is this possible? How can you fit the whole creation in this much space? One universe is 50 million miles. How is it possible? That is Krishna's Achintya Shakti. Yashoda Mai saw the universal creation both inside and outside of Krishna. But due to her motherly affection, when she saw the universe in Krishna's mouth, she became in anxiety. That, is this some disease? What's happening to my son? What's happening to me? She began to argue with herself. Am I seeing this because... Am I dreaming? Am I dreaming this, that I'm seeing the universal creation in Krishna's mouth? I can't be dreaming because my eyes are open. Or am I an illusion? No. I'm just an insignificant coward lady. Why would the demigods waste their time putting someone like me in illusion? Or perhaps I'm mentally deranged. No, that's not possible because I'm quite mentally stable. Oh, actually it's like this. Gargamuni said that my son would have great mystic powers likened to Lord Narayan. But then she rejected that. This is nonsense. How could this be? I know my son. When he's hungry, he weeps, he cries, he steals, he lies. When he's thirsty, I have to give him my milk, otherwise he's in so much anxiety and distress. He's so naughty. How could he have mystic powers? How could he be like Narayan? This is rejected. So she couldn't figure out how it is possible that she sees the universe in her son's mouth. So what does a devotee do when things are beyond their comprehension? A devotee takes shelter with Lord Narayan. So Mother Yashoda began to pray, oh Lord Narayan, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I surrender unto you. You are the cause of all causes. You are the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists. Everything is maintained only by your mercy. And you are the proprietor of everything. Due to being under the influence of Maya, I am thinking that I am the wife of Nanda Maharaj. Due to the influence of Maya, I am thinking that I am the queen of Braj. And all the gopas and all the gopis are under my authority. Due to Maya, I am thinking that all the cows in Vrindavan are my property. But actually, my Lord, and she was very much in reverence, but actually, my Lord, everything is yours. Everything is yours. Due to illusion, I'm thinking that Krishna is my son. And that Krishna is depending on me. I am protecting and nourishing him. But you are the supreme maintainer. You are the supreme protector of everyone. When Krishna heard Yashoda Mai, when she was praying like this, he thought within his heart, if she's thinking like this, that Vishnu is a supreme protector, then who is going to cuddle me, and who is going to hug me, and who is going to give me motherly love? As soon as he thought like that, Yashoda Mai's motherly affection just became overwhelming. She became so blinded by her praying, by her pure love, that she forgot that she saw the universal form. She even forgot the accusation that Krishna had eaten dirt. It all just passed, like when you wake up in the morning and you forget the dream of the previous night. And she lifted Krishna, who was smiling at her very lovingly, and embraced him, and gave him her milk. Krishna's lying to Yashoda should be understood properly. Actually, it's natural for little children to sometimes speak like this. It nourishes the mother's love. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Vatsalya Bhav and all other rasas spring from praying or pure love. And this pure love of God resides within the heart of the devotee. And that love arises when Krishna directs his inherent affection toward his devotee. Therefore, Krishna's name is Bhakta Vatsala, which means he's very affectionate toward devotees. And it is that affection of Krishna that actually awakens our love. When we please Krishna, Krishna manifests that affection towards us. And that is the only way love of God can awaken. It is not through any mechanical process. It is only when Krishna is affectionate and pleased by us that that affection itself awakens our love. And this Bhakta Vatsala quality of Krishna is his supreme quality. And because Krishna's telling a lie springs from his affection toward his devotee, toward his Bhakta Vatsala nature, therefore Krishna's lie is the crest jewel of all great qualities. We cannot imitate. Sukadeva Goswami explains, he who the three Vedas worship as the Mahapurusha, he who the it's Purushottam, he who the Sankhya scriptures worship as Purusha, he who the Yoga scriptures worship as Paramatma, he who the Pancharatrika scriptures worship as Bhagavan, Mother Yashoda considered him an ordinary child. And
then Krishna would do great things like this, showing the universe within his body. And Yashoda Maya would think that some people, they say that my Lord is, that my child is a great mystic yogi like Narayan. Because Garga Muni has said something like that, and also because of his killing of many demons. But I know better. He's my child. That's all. He's just my child. If he doesn't see me for even a moment, he becomes terribly disturbed. And if I don't see him for a moment, I become terribly disturbed. Therefore, the experience we have with each other is the evidence that he is just my little helpless child. Yashoda Maya's love was so great that it controlled Krishna. Krishna could not repay Yashoda Maya for the love that she offered him. This is his feeling. This is Bhakta Matsala. He becomes controlled and subordinate to the love of his devotee. Therefore, feeling unable to repay her debt, Krishna remains dependent, subordinate to Yashoda Maya as her own little child. This is the inconceivable nature of Vrindavan. Krishna is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the creator of all existence. Aham sarvasya prabhaho matya sarvam prabhartate iti matva bhajante mambhuna bhava samanyata. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this imperfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Due to the sweetness of Yoga Maya's mercy, even though the residents of Vrindavan would see Krishna performing such deeds that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do, they loved him as their child, their friend, or their lover. This is the most inconceivable of all subjects. How Krishna is controlled by the love. And this is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is disappearance day of Bhugava Goswami and Kashishwar Pandit. Do I have a few minutes to speak something? Is there a time limit? What is the time limit? Huh? I don't have such a good reputation for speaking concisely, but I'll try. Bhugava Goswami is a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. He and Lokanath Goswami came to Vrindavan in the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu several years before Rupan Sanatan Goswami. They were very, very deep friends. Lokanath Goswami, Bhugava Goswami. Srila Prabhupada says about Bhugava Goswami that he was constantly speaking the glories of the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not know anything else. In Krishna's Leela, he is Premanjari, one of the principal gopi associates of Radha and Krishna. But he just did not care to speak a word if it was not the glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine qualities. And he would perform his bhajan here in Vrindavan, sometimes underground, so that he wouldn't be disturbed. And in those days, there wasn't even boy bazaars or any rickshaws or anything like that. But still, to not be disturbed, he was going underground to meditate angels, mercy, chant the holy names.
Kashishwar Pandit was son of Vasudev Bhattacharya. And he was a Brahmachari who was personal servant of Ishvara Puri, Lord Chaitanya's guru. Lord Ishvara Puri had two personal servants, Govinda and Kashishwar Pandit. And when Ishvara Puri left this world just before, he ordered both Kashishwar Goswami and Govinda to become the personal servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Lord Chaitanya performed his South Indian tour, when he returned to Puri, at that time, Govinda appeared. And Mahaprabhu was so happy to see him. This is his Guru Maharaj's personal servant. Govinda Mahaprabhu explained to Lord Chaitanya that before departing from this world, Gurudev ordered myself and Kashishwar Goswami to be your personal servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much uncomfortable with this. First thing, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya that Ishvara Puri was a great Brahman spiritual master. And Govinda is from a sutra caste. How could he have initiated and accepted a sutra as a servant? This is not according to the proper tradition. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Ishvara Puri had such power that he could make a sutra into a Brahman simply by his teachings, his mercy, and his initiation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya accepted on the basis of scripture that this was authorized. Then Lord Chaitanya asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya a question. He said, Kashishwar Pandit and Govinda were the personal attendants of my spiritual master. Therefore, they are worshipable by me. How can I accept them as my servant? But at the same time, Gurudev ordered them to be my servant. So please tell me, what is to be done? In Purport, Prabhupada explains that one should not accept personal service from one's godbrothers or godsisters. This is proper etiquette. And Mahaprabhu was very, very careful to follow etiquette properly as an example for others, and that was his heart. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained that the order of Guru is all-powerful, and everything else is secondary to that. And he gave nice examples of Parasaram's father giving him a very difficult order to follow. And he did it. He said, whatever other considerations are there of etiquette, taking prominence overall is the order of the spiritual master. So you must accept. So Govinda said, in a few days, Kashishwar Pandit will also come. He's now on pilgrimage. So Kashishwar Pandit came a few days later, and he and Govinda were jointly the servants of Lord Chaitanya. Each had their division of duties. Govinda would take care of all the personal bodily needs of Lord Chaitanya. And one of the very, very special services of Kashishwar Pandit, because he had a strong body, is when Lord Chaitanya would go to Jagannath's temple, Kashishwar walked in front of him. Govinda was behind Lord Chaitanya, and Kashishwar Pandit was in front of him, clearing the crowds so that no one would touch Lord Chaitanya. And also, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have glorious kirtans, and there was prasad distribution, Kashishwar Pandit was one of them. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, Kashishwar, Shankar Pandit, they were the main people to serve the Vaishnavas prasad. So in this way, Kashishwar Pandit was constantly in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, witnessing his leelas,
receiving his mercy in such a personal, intimate way. But something happened over here in Vrindavan, which was very, very historical. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis that they should reside in Vrindavan for their whole lives. They should write books extracting the essence of all knowledge, pure devotional service, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And they should, by their example, establish the highest etiquette and behavior for a devotee, especially those in the renounced order. And they should build temples and establish proper deity worship, and also discover and excavate the holy places. So some years passed, and Rupa and Sanatana, they did everything. But one thing they were very much distressed about. According to the scriptures, especially the local Vrindavan scriptures, Vajranab, the great grandson of Sri Krishna, installed the prominent deity of this sector of Vrindavan, and his name was Govindadeva. And Rupa and Sanatana were looking everywhere for Govindadeva. Rupa Goswami was looking in people's houses all over Brajbhumi. He was looking in temples everywhere. There wasn't a clue, there wasn't a hint of where this deity could be. So he was sitting on the bank of Yamuna. He was very sad. This is a great Vaishnava, so humble. He's already done so many things, written so many books, but still he's feeling that my service is inadequate. So sitting and lamenting on the bank of Yamuna, a little boy, a Brijavasi boy, came up to him. Oh, Goswamiji, Why are you looking so sad? And he explained, I looked everywhere. I'm not fulfilling the order of Mahaprabhu. I cannot find Radha Govindadeva. And the little boy said, give up all of your sorrow. I know where he is. He said, there is a place close by called Gomatiyo. And there's a cow. A beautiful cow that comes there every day. And without anyone even touching her, she just lets all of her milk, profuse quantity of milk down from her udder into the ground. She's giving that milk to Govindadeva, who's under the ground in that place. Please come, I'll show you. And the little Brijavasi boy took Rupa Goswami by the hand and brought him to Gomatiyo. And there the cow was. Milk was profusely falling into the ground. Then the boy disappeared. And Rupa Goswami then realized that this boy was Krishna. This boy was Krishna. Govinda himself has come to reveal where he is. And I didn't recognize him. I didn't offer him any respect. I didn't worship him. I just treated him like an ordinary child. And he felt very distressed. And he fell unconscious. And when he came back to consciousness, he realized that whatever distress may be, I must carry out the will of the Lord. So he went and told the local Brijavasis that Govinda is in the ground here, let us take him. So the Brijavasis dug, right in the place Rupa Goswami showed, wet with milk. And after just a little bit of digging, beautiful form. Millions and billions and trillions of times more beautiful than Kandarpa or Cupid appeared from the ground. It was Sri Radha Govindadeva. And everyone just looked. And it is explained, even demigods disguising themselves as ordinary Brijavasis came to that place to worship Govindadeva. And Rupa Goswami made a temporary little facility with the help of the Brijavasis to begin the worship. But what was most important to Rupa Goswami is he wrote a letter to inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of this very, very historical news. Lord Chaitanya is sitting in Gambhira, in his residence in Jagannath Puri. And he tells one of his associates, I have not heard anything from Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami for a long, long time. I wonder why. As soon as he said that, a messenger came in. I have a letter for you from Rupa Goswami. If you take any account of who read that letter, that we have discovered today in the ground. He explained the whole story of how he was discovered and how the worship of Govindadev has now begun. Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. He was so happy. He wanted to help Rupa Goswami. Soon after reading that letter, Lord Chaitanya was so blissful, so blissful. His own personal servant, Kashishwar Pandit, he brought to a secluded place and gave him an instruction that I want you to go to Vrindavan and assist Rupa Goswami in the worship of Radha Govinda. Now, Kashishwar Pandit was a very, very vital part of Lord Chaitanya's, you know, inner group of servants. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much concerned with encouraging and assisting Rupa Goswami, they ordered Kashishwar Pandit immediately go to Vrindavan and do the Seva Puja of Govinda. Now for Kashishwar Pandit, this was like a formidable thunderbolt in his soft heart. He began to weep, cry uncontrollably. He said, my Lord, for years and years, I'm your personal, intimate associate. He said, to be separated from you, how will I survive? This order is breaking my heart. You're sending me away from your personal service. I will do whatever you say, but please understand that I don't know if I could survive away from you. So Lord Chaitanya's heart very much became soft. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally made a deity of himself for Kashishwar Pandit. A small deity of Krishna playing the lute. But Lord Chaitanya said, every time you look at this deity, you will see me and you will feel my presence. I am not different than this deity. And the name of the deity, Gaur Govinda. Kashishwar Pandit was satisfied. When he looked at that deity, he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reveal himself in that deity of Krishna. Kashishwar Pandit came to Vrindavan and he placed Gaur Govinda deity just on the right side of Govindadev's lotus. And he spent the rest of his life for many, many years here in Vrindavan as a very intimate associate of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. Intimate associate. And he was one of the very, very leading pujaris of Sri Radha Govinda Dev here in Samadhi is just in that 64 Samadhi area, just across the road from Sri Radha Govinda. Today is disappearance day. And all of these great Vaishnavas, they reveal the highest truth of how the supreme, inconceivable, absolute truth beyond the root reach of the mind, the senses, and the intelligence becomes subordinate to the love of the devotee. That is bhakti. And we Srila Prabhupada, because by his causeless mercy, we have given the inconceivable good fortune to receive this matchless gift of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Krishna Balaramandir ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Anand ki Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.